This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Life sustains itself by cell division. So does cancer. Breast cancer cells multiply faster because of CDK4/6 proteins. But what if we could block those proteins and stop runaway cell division? To that end, Dana-Farber scientists laid the foundation for CDK4/6 inhibitors, new drugs that are increasing the survival rate for many advanced breast cancers. Dana-Farber's momentum of discovery keeps finding new ways to outmaneuver cancer. Learn more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
It's about in session.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. We've had quite a few corporate fraud trials so far this century, but none bigger than the one that starts today in Houston. Jury selection begins in the federal trial of Enron's former executives Ken Lay and Jeffrey Skilling. Both have pleaded not guilty to a slew of charges. The government has a couple star witnesses up its sleeve, Enron's former CFO and chief accountant. Marketplace's Tess Vigeland has more.
After all the news coverage, the perp walks, the books, and the made-for-TV movies, you might assume this trial will be a slam dunk for prosecutors.
This is a much tougher case than most people realize.
That's former white-collar prosecutor Robert Mintz. He says while the name Enron has become synonymous with corporate greed, federal attorneys will have to walk the jury through a complicated chain of evidence.
The primary challenge for the government here is going to be to try to present a case that is an understandable and clear-cut case of wrongdoing. They have to avoid trying to get caught up in a mind-numbing primer on accounting technicalities.
Attorneys for Skilling and Lay, meanwhile, are expected to argue that all the wrongdoing occurred below their pay grades and that they're not the greedy ogres they've been made out to be over the last 4 years. I'm Tess Vigeland for Marketplace.
Another Texas-based company is making news today. Dell says it plans to hire another 5,000 workers in India over the next 2 years. That'll bring its workforce there to 15,000. Dell's also building a fourth call center. And the computer maker might take things a step further and build a manufacturing plant in India. Rebuilding levees is a top priority for the city of New Orleans. Who knows when the next hurricane might hit? This week, Louisiana officials get a report on the best way to ensure long-term protection from the big storms. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Sam Eaton reports.
A working group of 19 experts from around the country have come up with recommendations for how to build a sustainable storm protection system around New Orleans. First step, toss out the fragmented way things were done in the past. University of Maryland's Donald Bosch.
Well, our public works programs that deal with water resources have generally been stovepiped.
Meaning federal approval for flood protection, navigation, and coastal restoration plans typically happens on a project-by-project basis with little regard for the big picture.
And I think if we've learned anything as a result of Hurricane Katrina and then later on Hurricane Rita, is that these systems all interact.
Bosch says without a joint state and federal body to coordinate these projects, New Orleans runs the risk of making the same mistakes all over again. The report also calls for a new funding mechanism that would issue federal bonds to finance the projects. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Director Steven Soderbergh's latest film, Bubble, hit theaters Friday. The DVD comes out tomorrow. It's an experiment in simultaneous release. Theater owners are no doubt wagging their fingers this morning. Bubble brought in an underwhelming $72,000 at the box office this weekend, but DVD pre-orders were about five times what they'd normally be for this kind of movie. Friday, Wall Street rallied big time. The Dow surged 97 points to end at 10,907. The S&P 500 index climbed about 10 to 1283. The NASDAQ was up 21. Oil prices are climbing again today. They're above $68 a barrel. This is Marketplace. Some sobering news from Britain. Booze is killing people at a faster rate there than any other European country. From London, Stephen Beard reports on the human and economic cost of heavy drinking.
22,000 people a year in Britain die from alcohol-related disease, most of them from cirrhosis of the liver. These figures are rising much faster here than elsewhere in Europe, according to a new study. One of the reasons, says researcher David Leon, is that the Brits have switched increasingly away from beer to wine, and they're drinking more and more of it.
The publicity around wine, particularly red wine, has been that it's the safe thing, it's the sophisticated thing, it's the thing which protects your heart and so on. Whereas in point of fact, it's as dangerous as any other form of alcohol.
The cost to the British economy of alcohol abuse has been put at $30 billion a year in healthcare, crime and lost production. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Which is produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. By Medtronic. Alleviating pain. Restoring health. Extending life. Medtronic. On the web at Medtronic.com. And by Reuters. Reporting from around the world. Every day. Every hour. Every second. Reuters helps you stay in the know. Now.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow.
And now it's time for the Sloan Sessions.
Last week, Ford unveiled its plan to cut up to 30,000 jobs in the next 6 years. How is it, then, that the automaker got a $250 million tax break from the government last year under something called the American Jobs Creation Act? I asked Newsweek's Alan Sloan.
In 2004, Congress passed a piece of legislation that they grandly named the American Jobs Creation Act, that in 2005 gave any company that brought money in from overseas what's known in the trade as a tax holiday, where they would pay a rate of 5.25% on these profits that they brought into this country rather than the standard 35%. And the people who have been flogging this piece of legislation for years put this grand name on it. And as we can see from Ford, which is cutting and cutting and cutting and cutting, there's no requirement that you actually add jobs under the American Jobs Creation Act. And we now see that it's, of course, a piece of complete nonsense.
But what does repatriating earnings, bringing money in from overseas at that lower tax rate, have to do with job creation anyway?
Nothing. But this was something that a variety of companies wanted to do. And Ford, by the way, was not among them. But companies wanted to do this, so they invented this rationale, and they said, well, this money will be spent only on job-creating activities like research and development or building facilities or, you know, all of these uses. The problem, of course, is the board of directors of the company could sign a certification saying, we are bringing this money in and it will be used for the following use to build a plant. And what that does is, since they were going to build the plant anyway, it frees up the money they would otherwise have built the plant with to be used for whatever they want. And everybody knew this from the beginning.
Do you feel like Congress was intentionally trying to deceive people, or was this just a law that went awry and didn't work out?
Oh, no, it was deceit from the beginning, and everybody knew it. It's the fact that it shows up in this particular instance, the Ford instance, where Ford is doing what it has to do to survive and is making very honest and very good disclosure and very detailed. And that's how you see stuff like this. And I could not resist pointing this out, because how can anybody resist pointing this out? It's so absurd and ridiculous, and it so fulfills what so many of us think what goes on in Washington, that much of it is a complete farce, and this, in fact, was.
How does this affect corporate tax revenues of the government?
What this did was it accelerated into 2005 a whole lot of tax payments that otherwise would have been made in later years. So 2005 looks better than it would otherwise have looked, but future years will look worse.
Alan Sloan is the Wall Street editor for Newsweek. He's back next week with another edition of the Sloan Sessions. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
Here's the glass.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money.
Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.